Now I see grace. Well, good morning. It's good to be here at Grace Point, where we see and experience grace. Glad you're here today. We're going to start off a little bit differently in light of what happened yesterday. And I know you're aware of the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Now, let me say this to start. I don't care if you're for Trump, against Trump, for Biden, against Biden. I don't care. That matters neither here nor there to me. And really, at this point, shouldn't matter to you. If you were here the week before when I did a 4th of July sermon, one of the things we talked about is that we're supposed to be praying for our nation and our nation's leaders. So we're going to start off this morning by doing that. And here's how we're going to do it. If you want to and you're able to, we're going to call you to come down front and kneel here at the altar, and we're going to pray for our nation. After that, on your way back, you can do some fellowshipping, because that's what we normally do to start our service. And then we'll go from there and have the rest of our church service the way we normally do. Okay? So you don't have to come down front to pray, but if you'd like to, and you can, if you'll get up and come right down front here, kneel at the altar right here, and we're going to pray for our nation and our leaders. So come on down front. If you can do that, we'd appreciate that. Kneel, or if you want to, you can stand. And let's pray together. God, you have blessed us by allowing us to live in this nation. We had no say-so of when we would come into this world or in which location we would come into this world. That was handed to us by you. You selected us to live here in America. And you bore this country into being under freedom. And we have the freedom to live the way that we like or the way that you like. And everyone else in our nation has that same freedom. And the good news is that we have the freedom to choose what is good and right in your sight. And the bad news is we have the freedom and right to choose what is not good in your sight. And that happened yesterday. God, you're well aware. We pray, Father, that the damage that was done physically to former President Trump was no worse than it is. I'm sure psychologically and emotionally has done damage, and we pray for his healing physically and emotionally. We pray for other leaders. I wonder how President Biden and all other political leaders at this point feel that their lives may be jeopardized as well, because there's a lot of other crazy people out there. And it's scary to know that someone who's just a little off or a lot off, if they don't like a particular person, will just get a gun and shoot them. We pray against those people, that you would protect not only our political leaders, but all of us, from people who would use weaponry that can be used for good. Protect us from them. And we pray for healing of our nation. And we realize, Lord, that only comes from a time when our nation will turn back to you. And so do it. Start it now. Not in their hearts, but in our hearts, in my heart. And remind us, Lord, that one of the ways to do it is to get on our knees like we are now in prayer before you for our nation. bring healing to it, bring revival. So take care of this, God. We turn it over to you and into your hands. And we pray these things together. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a verse this morning from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. From the Amplified Version. And Peter says this, "But grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Let's pray together again. God, as we gather today to worship you, we thank you for being God who is alive in our lives. We thank you that you didn't just call us to be your children. You didn't just save us and let us go on our own. You call us after our salvation to be a people who grow with you. And Father, we do pray that you will show us this morning how to grow in your grace, so we can continue to become the children that you want us to be as we worship you and as we serve you, as you change us to become more and more like your Son, Jesus. So bless us to that end today as we worship you, as we praise you, as we submit to your word as we hear it today. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is mighty to save. It's been a while we sang that one, Jason. That's good stuff right there. I like that. We might have to do that one again. You want to come back up? I like that one. I like that one. Some things we put together don't really go together very well. We call them oxymorons. Let me give you a couple of examples. For instance, accurate estimate. How about climb down? Don't really go together. A small crowd. Virtual reality. Clearly confused. Seriously funny. Government efficiency. Jumbo shrimp. Other things do go together. Help me with these. Romeo and Juliet. Bread and butter. Batman and Bonnie and bacon and no. Bacon and everything. All right? It's bacon and everything go together. We're in a series of messages called Good News About God's Grace. Today we're going to be talking about growing in grace, and we've been talking about God's grace, and we've been talking about how God's grace saves us, God's grace sustains us, God's grace gets us through things, and we're going to be talking about growing in grace. And so sometimes we think about, does grace and growing really go together? And when we think about God's grace, so does God's grace alone grow us? No. God's grace does grow us, but we participate. Grace and growth really do go together, even though we have a part in it. Now, if you have your outlines, take them out, fill that in. Grace and growth are two things that actually go together. We participate in it, and it's still by God's grace. It's not one or the other. It's both. Now, we read this verse earlier. Here is the NIV version of 2 Peter 3:18. Peter tells us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Now let me tell you a couple things what growth is not. First, growth is not how many. Growth is not how many meetings you go to, for instance, at church, or how many phone calls you make to help people come to church, or how many Bible verses you memorize. All of these things are important. You can be involved in what you're supposed to be involved in so you can grow. You can be involved in activities of the church. You can be really busy at them. You can do all of those things yet and still not grow. Jesus is more concerned with quality than quantity. Jesus didn't say he came to give you more to do in life. He came to give us abundant life, to change the quality of our life. Growth is not how many. It is not how much. There's nothing wrong with doing how many or how much, but growth is not how many. Growth is, fill this in, it is a process of change. Growth is the process of change. It's the process of Christ-like change in our lives. Now, we need to know that growth is a process. Growth doesn't just happen overnight. It takes time for God to produce Christ-like change in us. Now, sometimes we get impatient with ourselves concerning growth and change. But even more so, sometimes we get impatient with others because of what we perceive as a lack of growth and change in their part. And sometimes it goes like this. We've struggled with a particular area of our life that we think we need to change in, and God works in us, he's patient with us, and he grows us, and we reach a point in this particular part of our life, and guess what? We've grown through it, and it's good. And then we see something in somebody else's life that we're no longer struggling with, and we wonder, why can't you get over that? How come you can't work through that? Why are you still struggling in that? And we become impatient with people like, how come you're not where I am? But for a long time, we weren't where we are now. Be patient with others just like we want them to be patient with us when we're not where they are in the growth process. We forget that before where we are now, it took a long time for God to grow us. We didn't get there overnight. Growth is a process of change. Now, what we need to understand about growth is that growth, like salvation, comes to us still, even though we're part of the working process of it, it still comes through God's grace. God doesn't save us by his grace and then say, okay, now you grow on your own. We grow in and with and by and through his grace as well. But there is a process that God has set up to facilitate our growth. Look at these verses in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Does your outline say Ephesians 4, 22 through 44? Okay, my note said 44, and I'm like, there's no 44 verses. Because there's, all right, good. At least I'm paying attention to my own notes when I was looking at them this morning. Ephesians 2, 22 through 24. Paul said this. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old life. Underline that. Put off your old life, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self. Underline that phrase. Put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're going to talk about those two phrases. First, we're told to put off the old. Put off the old. Now, when you go home today, I want you to bring your Bibles out and read Romans chapter 7. Read Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7, Paul talked about a struggle that believers have. Even after they're saved, we still struggle with the sinful nature. We are saved instantaneously. Jesus Christ comes into our heart. We are Christians. We're saved. All of our sins are forgiven. But our sinful nature is not instantaneously changed fully at that time. We're heaven bound, but we still struggle with sin in our lives. Even though it's forgiven, we still aren't fully changed. And so Paul tells us that we need to put off the old. We still fight, but we're told to put off the old. So we put off the old, trying to grow by doing good. Fill that in. We try to put off the old by doing good. Now, doing good as a believer is great, but to believe that doing good produces change in us is a misconception. Jesus illustrated this when he talked about putting new wine in old wineskins. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No. They pour new wine into new wineskins, and both will be preserved. New wineskins are pliable. New wine lets off gas, and new wineskins can stretch and allow for that. Old wineskins are brittle. And if you put new wine that's going to release gas into a brittle wineskin, it's going to burst. Good deeds alone don't produce growth. It'd be like asking an uninformed thief or an unreformed thief to polish the inside of a bank vault. Just put him in there, and we think, oh, you know, it's going to be okay. If he's unreformed, do you think just because this thief is doing a good deed that he's not going to put a few things in his pocket before he leaves? So put off the old. That is the notion that you can have a significant growth just by doing good deeds. It doesn't work that way. Put off trying to grow by keeping rules. Sometimes we try and put it off just by doing good deeds. Sometimes we try to put off the old by keeping rules. Hebrews 13:9 says, your hearts should be strengthened by God's grace, not by obeying rules. And let me say this from the very get-go here. This doesn't mean that as a Christian, we can just go out and say, hey, Pastor Kevin said I don't have to obey any rules. I just go do whatever I want to do. If you're here today and you're a child or a teenager, don't go home to your mom or daddy and tell them, I don't have to obey you. Kevin said I don't have to. It's not what I said. But you don't put the old off just by keeping rules. Hebrews 13:9. Your hearts should be strengthened by God's grace, not by keeping the rules. It's by God's grace we're strengthened, not externally by following the rules. Would you agree you can follow a rule externally and internally still have the exact opposite mindset, the exact opposite feelings, emotions, the exact opposite heart? When I think about this, I think about Leave It to Beaver. I like the Me Channel. I don't know if you all get that, the Me Channel. I love going back into the old school and watching these shows, and I love watching Leave It to Beaver. I love it. One of my favorite characters is Eddie Haskell. Right? You remember him? Eddie Haskell comes into the house. Well, hello, Mr. Cleaver. Hello. And how are you today? And he's really nice and everything is great until he goes upstairs. And when he gets up there, he just turns into this other character. Hey, Beaver, get out of here. What are you doing? And he tells what he's going to do. And so he's one person down here in front of the mom and dad, and he's totally somebody else in a different environment. I remember just by keeping rules doesn't change us. When I was a boy, I did something wrong. As a boy, that's all I did was something wrong. It wasn't a matter of did I do something wrong today, it was a matter of did I get caught. And my stepmom caught me again. And if I got caught a couple of times in the same day, I was punished. And she gave me a punishment that I absolutely abhorred. She made me write sentences. I would rather she whipped me with a belt She made me write sentences, and I'd have to say, I did this wrong, and I'm sorry, and I will never do it again, blah, blah, blah. And I had to write it 50 times. And it had to be neat. Well, I already have a default. I don't write neatly. I just don't. I don't mean not to. I don't. And every sentence I started, and by 35, number, it was bad. I wrote 50 sentences, and I'm going to tell you, when I was done, it didn't change me a bit. Just doing it, just the punishment of it, just trying to keep the rules she made me do, it didn't change me on the inside. Rule-keeping doesn't lead to lasting, significant growth in Christ. Keeping the rules, trying to do good, doesn't change us. Another thing that doesn't really change us is when we just feel bad about something. Feeling bad, feeling guilty, doesn't change us at all. I preached just a few weeks ago about how God's grace takes away all of our guilt and all of our shame. But some folks think that if they just felt bad enough about themselves, then that'll help them grow. But guilt doesn't produce growth either. You can't guilt yourself into becoming a mature Christian. Punishing yourself for your sin isn't going to help you grow as a believer. God took the punishment we deserved. He put it on Christ when Jesus died on the cross. Now, God doesn't correct us, and in love, he disciplines us. He does correct us. And many times, we reap the consequences of our actions down here on this earth. But he doesn't punish us for all eternity, because Jesus took the punishment for our sins on himself. So we wouldn't have to be punished. So you don't grow by feeling guilty. That doesn't help your Christian growth at all. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us. By the way, when you read Romans chapter 7... you got to go then immediately and read Romans chapter 8. Who condemns us? Jesus? No. He died for us so our sins could be forgiven. He doesn't condemn us, so we shouldn't condemn ourselves. So if doing good, if keeping rules, if feeling bad about ourselves, if those things don't produce growth in us, then we need to put off those things. What we need to do then is put on something. And what we need to do is we need to put on the new. We need to put on the new. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Good memory verse if you're looking for one. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Notice a few things about this new life that God gives us. First, number one, we don't have to achieve our new life. We don't have to achieve it. We don't make this new life on our own. Newness is a creation of God. We don't achieve it. It's something that's given to us by God, by someone else. When I grew up, I lived on Cortez Road in Baltimore. And actually, Cortez Road was over here, and it was our front door that we never used. It was down a hill, and we just never used that. Libby and I are going back to Baltimore in a couple of weeks to visit. It's to visit my aunt. She's the only living relative left who came into the world before me on my side of the family. And so we're going back to see her and go to an Orioles game. I don't know which one we're looking forward to more. Oh, it's obviously to see my aunt. So Libby, every time Libby and I go back to Baltimore, I don't know how many times we've been, but every time we go back, I take her through the same alleys and streets in elementary school. Every time. She can probably drive it better than me. And so I take her to Cortez Road. I said, baby, this is Cortez Road. And we look up the hill to where my row house was or is. But then I take her to the alley. The alley is where we spent our time. And so here's my row house, and we have seven or eight before a break, and there was one to my left, and this was where Mr. Bud and Miss Marguerite lived. Mr. Bud was a great guy. He was he drove Mack trucks, Mack dump trucks, always chewing on and smoking a cigar. Great fella. And he had a single-car garage. So his single-car garage had five glass, not plastic, glass windows. So on this side of the alley right here was a yard. The Goads lived there, four boys. We were good friends. And they had a yard, and they had a concrete curb. It was this high. And we used to play curb ball. We got a rubber ball the size of a baseball, nice, good rubber ball. And we would take that ball and throw it against the curb. And if you were back here in front of Mr. Bud's garage, it's a ground ball. If you catch it, you're out. If it goes by, you get a single. If it hits the garage, you get a double. And if you hit the top part of the curb, it goes up over the garage, you got a home run. The problem is, if you hit a line drive and hits that glass, it's going to break. And so early on in my career, I broke his glass, and I was afraid. So I didn't say anything to him. So he came to me one day. Well, what happened was he fixed it. And I was out in the alley, and I went, oh, my gosh, how did that happen? I didn't even believe in God, but I thought it was a miracle. And so I was out there, and he came out to me, and he said, hey, Skeeter. He called me Skeeter. I don't know why. He said, Skeeter, did you break that glass? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm going to tell you what. I fixed it for you this time. The next time, you're going to fix it. I said, okay. He said, all you had to do is come and tell me, and I would have gladly fixed it for you. I said, really? He said, yes. I don't mind you playing out here. I would have fixed it for you. You know what that was? Grace. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I was walking away from the damage I did. I didn't do anything. That was his grace to me. I didn't achieve it, but he gave it. That's what God does for us. We put on the new. We don't achieve it. Number two, we don't have to keep our new life. God takes care of that. Look at Colossians 3:3. Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Our new life is kept with Christ in God. Now, that's being kept securely. We don't always do a good job keeping things. Anybody here lose things constantly? Did you lose something this morning? Maybe. We lose things all the time. I'm getting worse and worse about that. I mean, it's terrible. We misplace things. We mishandle things. We lose things. Some of us were probably looking for things, even on our way to work, we think we forgot something. But when it comes to our salvation and the new life we have as believers in Christ, listen, there's no chance, none whatsoever, that you're ever going to lose it. You're never going to misplace it. It's never going to lose you, because it's not our responsibility to keep it. That's God's responsibility. We don't keep it. He does, and the last I checked, God hasn't lost anything yet. We don't have to keep our new life. Well, that takes a lot of pressure off our shoulders. Now, let's face it, sometimes we act like we need to keep it. We make a mistake, we go, oh no, I got to fix that. Well, we might have to fix the mistake, but that doesn't mean you have to fix keeping your salvation. It's kept for you through Jesus. And number three, we do have to put on our new life. We do have to put it on. Before we became a believer, we don't have the power to choose God's ways. Once you receive Christ, you do have the power to choose God's ways. And God says we need to put on our new life. Just like you have a choice to put on your old shoes or your new shoes, your old clothes or your new clothes, your old jacket, your new jacket, you can choose to put on the new life that Jesus gives you. Now, sometimes what we do is we put on the new life on Sundays, right? We come here, we want everybody to see we're in our new life. Or we do it when it's convenient, but at other times, we just let the old life shine through. At other times, we try to put on the new life, and the old life is still there. We try to put on the new life over the old life instead of taking the old life off. It's like putting on the new jacket over the old one. Remember the Christmas story, when Ralphie has all these clothes on and layer after layer and he can't run. He's just like this and doesn't he fall down and he can't get up? Is that what happens? I fall in and I can't get up. He can't move. And that's what happens when we don't take the old life off and we leave the old life on and then try and put a new life around us, and it just burdens us and we can't move the way God wants us to. We're uncomfortable. That's why you need to take the old life off. Say, Kevin, how often do I do it? Paul said this, another one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Paul said, I die daily. Every day I have to die again. Every day I have to take this old life off again and begin again in Christ. Every day. Why? Because we're saved, but we're not perfected here. So every day I have to take this part of my old life off again. And whatever comes back, I have to take it off again. Every day we have to die to ourselves every day and allow God to put the new life back on us. That change is a process. It doesn't happen all at once. It takes time. And it leads to the third step, number three. It leads to us being renewed in our minds. To be renewed in our minds. This step of God renewing our minds empowers us to take off the old. Because as your mind is renewed, changed from what you used to think about, then God takes off the old and he's able to put on the new a whole lot better in us. Look what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. God wants to change you, to grow you, and he does that by changing the way you think. God ultimately wants you to see things the way he sees things from his vantage point. And that happens by allowing him to change the way you think. It basically means if we can believe what God says and the truths that he says and see things from his perspectives, we are constantly filling our minds with his truth. And if that happens, he can change us from the inside out. He can change our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions. And he does it by changing the way we think. But he can't do all the changing he wants until he does that. That's one reason we need to have our prayer time with God, our devotions with God. We need to read God's word, because it gets us thinking about God, learning more about him. A renewed mind doesn't come just by self-determination. It comes as the result of determined dependence upon God's grace. Some folks think that we're saved by grace, but that Christian growth is solely up to them, and that's not true. We're saved by grace, we grow by grace, but we do participate. It does call us to be active in the growth process. Look at this verse in Galatians 3:3. Paul said this, you began your life in Christ by the Spirit. Now are you trying to make it complete by your own power? That is foolish. You began your life in Christ. You don't complete it all on your own. That's crazy. Think about a car or a train or a plane. You get it up to speed. You use it to the power that's inherent in the motor, the engine. You get it up to speed. You're cruising along and you think, hey, I'm going fast enough now. I think I'll just step out and make the rest of the trip all on my own. After all, I'm cruising along just fine. Doesn't take long before you crash. And that's how it is when God's getting you where he wants you and you were like, oh, this is great. I can just do it on my own. And you crash. Have you ever crashed in your Christian life, in your walk with God? Have you ever just absolutely crashed? And one of the reasons may be because you were trying to do it on your own instead of in God's grace. You have a responsibility for growth, but it's still in the grace of God. So let's look at two questions as we close it out. Two questions. Question number one, why does it take so long? Do you ever feel like you take two or three steps forward in God's grace and growth and you take two steps back? You take another step forward, then you take three steps back and you're one step back when you were... Why does it take so long? I change a little, then I see new areas that I need to be changed in, then I fall back in one area. Why? Several reasons. One is because we are valuable to God. We're valuable to God. What is stronger? What will last longer? What's more durable? Something that's been quickly stamped and punched out at the assembly line, or something that takes a long time to make with real effort and skill and craftsmanship that put into it? Folks, God is changing us for eternity. Growth is a process of change that points toward eternity. God loves us and values us and really wants to change us. And so it takes time. Hang in there. Don't always look at what is still left to be changed. Sometimes you need to be humbled. And sometimes you need to humbly rejoice over what has already been done. Sometimes you just need to be patient. Anybody here need patience? Folks, if patience isn't one of your virtues, then don't grow a Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree. After you plant the Chinese bamboo tree seed, you have to water it every day for 5 years. Before it sprouts. But when it sprouts, the show begins. It will grow 90 feet tall in 5 weeks. That's 2.5 feet of growth per day for 35 days. If you water it for 5 years every day, it takes time. You realize it takes 6 months to build a Rolls Royce and 15 hours to build a Toyota. What do you want? Now, if you have a Toyota, don't get mad at me. It's just an illustration. It takes a long time for God to change us. Be patient. So where do I get started? Trust. Get started with trust. You need to start by trusting God and his ability and his grace to change you. Look what Philippians 1:6 says. Paul wrote this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." You can underline that whole verse. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is going to finish it. Philippians 2:13 says this, "For God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him and then helping you do what he wants you to do." So some of you are on the shore, and God's calling you to go deeper. He's calling you to grow a little deeper. Maybe you've tried to go deeper and something happened and you just withdrew back. God's calling you again to grow deeper. The choice is yours. Are you going to do whatever God wants you to do to take that next step to grow deeper? By His grace, absolutely. By your choice and your decisions, absolutely. Let's pray together. God, thank you for being patient with us when we're not growing as deeply as we should or need to be. And thank you always offering us that next opportunity to grow deeper. Now today, Lord, there may be some ways, things that we need to do to respond to your grace to grow deeper. Maybe it's putting off some of the things that are old that we know we just need to let go of, maybe let go of again. Maybe it's to get into the things that are new that we haven't been doing for a while. But as you call us to grow deeper, Father, may we respond in faith, in trust, to take those steps to become the person you want us to be. So bless our time of response now, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the last verses that was on your outline, I want to read for you as we close. It's Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Listen to what Paul said. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Let's do that.
Say a little prayer for us today. We're getting ready to take a group up to Carowinds. And, tomorrow's the hottest day of the year, I believe. We got spoiled a couple years ago. Jason, I don't know if you were there with us. It was like 70 degrees, just unbelievable. So I'll be in the theater watching the air-conditioned shows and on the lazy river. So there we go. July 30th, mark that date down. That's our next time that we will be helping at the James Allen Outreach at Grace Point. That's our day. We are responsible to provide helpers. If you can be there, there's the information right on the screen. 9 to 12, great time to just make a great impact here in our community. All right, great time of worship today. As again, continue to pray for our world, our nation. These are crazy times. And the one thing you can do is reach one more person for Jesus. Do that, and we'll make a difference. So let's do that. Let's pray right now. Let's pray. Lord, there's an excitement in our hearts about serving you and the joy that does come in the morning, but there's also a lot of pain in this world, and we've already prayed some today about that. Help us to continue to be mindful of your power, your grace, and your love, because truly how great is our God. And that's what we need in our world right now, in our life. Help us to be a light in this world, Lord. And we pray this, all of this, in your precious name, Lord. We lift it up to you now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.